بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. In the chapter كتاب الملاحم, in the book of wars, the next narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once sitting in a tent of Tabuk. So we heard of the Ghazwa of Tabuk. It was the time when they went for the Romans and the Romans never came. The Arabs had never ever thought that one day they will take their flags and go for the Romans. And for the Romans not to come, the Roman leader Hiraqal, they call him Hercules, he sent a message to the Romans that it comes in our books that he will take the land under our feet. So don't go for the battle. So when they came to Tabuk, there was no battle. So for them it was like the biggest victory that the Arabs had ever seen. That's when a Sahabi radiallahu anhu, Auf ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, said, and then this was narrated. He said, I entered the tent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I gave glad tidings. I said, O Allah's Nabi Mubarak, that now it seems that war has wrapped itself up. This is like the end now. The Arabs, they ran away. And normally when you look at a victory or a defeat, it is nature of man that you only look at that immediate. So if there's a major victory, then you say we won, as though there will never be a next match. And whenever there's a defeat, then the people go so down as though we completely lost, as though you can never stand. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to teach a principle of Islam in this narration. The narration perhaps would draw out, according to some, it's still going to complete. In my understanding, this completed about in the year about 400 or 500 years after the Hijri. But what a narration that it covered about 500 years. But the principle of the narration was, whenever you are victorious, don't ever think that now victory will last forever. And whenever you have lost, don't ever behave as though victory can't be attained. This narration will show two extremes. We call it وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. That there's an oath of the day when everything is bright. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. Then there's an oath of the night when everything is dark. Whoever learns these two principles, وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى, then the rotating of this world will never put him in a depression. And rising in this world will never grip him with pride. Falling in this world will not put him in a depression. Rising in this world will not put him in pride. He will understand this is the dawran, the rotation of this world. Sometimes I am on top, sometimes you are on top. One of the biggest issues in a married life is that a person, what he sees in the first 1-2 weeks, then he decides or he makes a judgment, it will forever be like this. So sometimes they see very good days in the beginning, very good days. And it's supposed to be, you just got married, what is the wife going to say? Times have changed now. But in the past it was like this, that during the first 2 or 3 weeks, whatever you said to your wife, she will say to you whatever you want. So they would say, if you want to make her in that first 3 weeks. Or make her write it down at least. Whatever you want, whatever you want. Because after 3 weeks, it's going to be forgotten forever. Kalamul layl yamhuhun nahar. See, these are the talks of the night when you were hugging me. All gone now. Now this is different. From day one already, she's making him do what she wants. But normally. So what happens is, when you got such a wonderful, beautiful, pretty, princess, fairy, then you think that she'll always be that beautiful, wonderful, fantastic fairy forever. But the woman's body is such that as soon as her life changes, she finds a hormonal change in her body, or hormones change. And with the changing of the hormones, her nature changes. Her body shape might change. With the coming of a child or children, she will, after 2 years, be completely different from what you saw her in the beginning. The one who was expecting her to remain forever and ever and ever how he found her, then he will not be used to night coming. And when night will come, he'll scream, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. And sometimes when difficulties come, even in a marriage, can be at the beginning, one child, two children, and then the girl says, I want out. The reason is because she's seeing a difficult patch, so she thinks life will always be difficult. She doesn't understand that after difficult days have to come easy days. Can't you just pull a little bit? Don't just jump out before time. There will always be times in life where different decisions have to be made. But two things Islam never wanted. Unique Quran is, Quran spoke about nikah, Quran spoke about talaq also. وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ. Then how to give talaq, how to give nikah. How to make a nikah, how to make, give a talaq. Make a nikah, there mustn't be so much of celebration as though this nikah is guaranteed in the heavens it's going to last. It must be simple, it must be with worry, with dua. And when talaq is given, it must not be given in such a hard manner as though I'm going to break and break it forever. Because there might always be a time later on you want to get together again. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you slaughter, إِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ. Even when you slaughter, slaughter nicely. Even you giving talaq, you give it in a nice manner. That we just can't see eye to eye, and then you give an extra hadiah also. You go and meet the father, the mother, there's no swearing in between. The reason is that after night comes day again. After a couple of years, it might happen that the father might come and visit you and say that, you know, my daughter, she still thinks about you. And then you say, you know, I still think about her. Then they say, if you're thinking, let's get together. Now day has come again. But when day has come, your words could have spoiled it already. Because when you're going back to that house, you have to see your mother-in-law again, but she knows what you said about her. She knows what you said about him. Don't spoil it. Life goes day and night. So when the Sahabi said, Mubarak, O Allah's Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, war has now wrapped up. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, U'udud sittan bayna yaday as-sa'ah. I want you to count six things that will happen before Qiyamah. Meaning six are going to happen. Three will be top, meaning heights for the believers. And three will be sad, down for the believers. One after the other. Meaning this is such a victory. And then after this, already Fath Makkah had taken place. This was Tabuk. Everything was good. The Romans have run away. He said, Mauti. That the first thing you will now see is my demise, my passing away. The Sahabi radiallahu anhu says, I just heard that and I started crying. Because it never only meant the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it meant a lot of things that will come together with that death. One is the inqita, the coming termination of wahi. Jibreel alayhi salam will now never ever come back to the earth with Quran. Inqita min al-wahi. He cried about that. The cry about how will this Islam and this ummah manage without a Nabi. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, how many qawms all just pulled back? Some refused to give zakat. Some went into open irtidad. Some said everything we agree upon except one or two issues. Everyone in their deen, there was a little bit of khalal, problem. Some held on completely, some held on little, some were not holding on at all. There was the fear of that collapse, all together with the demise. Among Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Sahabi says, we had just buried Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And already I could feel something like different, which I had never felt before for the other. Because that nur of nubuwah was now gone. Now they had to learn to live like brothers. But the uniting factor was no longer there. Now the devil was going to open his eyes again. He was going to launch his attack from every side, fight amongst each other. Bring the Romans against them, bring the Persians against them, bring the Arabs against them. All of that was in that word mauti, my demise. Meaning so much of cracks will come in my ummah. Will you survive at that time? Some just went quiet, some were not speaking. Allah Ta'ala creates when He wants to create, how He creates. Aisha radiallahu anha, she herself said that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put Abu Bakr radiallahu anha on the mimbar, she said, I asked that if somebody else could go on the mimbar. One reason, she says, my father is so soft-natured. When he comes on the mimbar, he only cries and he cries. We cannot even hear him. Abu Bakr radiallahu anha's heart was very soft, very soft. And when you have a very soft nature, very soft. And then he was the mirror of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Normally when you say we lived together for years, we never parted. Then when someone passes away, you'll see that individual also, so to say, passes away with him. The shadow just goes because I will wake up, he's not there. I will sleep, he's not there. Normally that one will be the one who will go in the first, like, depressed mode. He will be the first one who will say, I can't speak. But when Allah wants something to happen, it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu who showed everyone what is called a real mara of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the one to give that. Who would have given that? Wama Muhammadun illa Rasul. For him to read this was like, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was his most beloved, for him to read that Muhammad is nothing but a Nabi at that moment. Muhammad is nothing but a Nabi. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلِ. Me and you will read it. But if you have to put yourself in that time, Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhu said, when he read it, I looked up and I said, as though this verse was only revealed now. Like I had forgotten this verse. Such that calamity was. But how he read it. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. And thereafter the whole scene changed. After night you will get day. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثُمَّ. That thumma means like thereafter, a while after, or thumma will have the meaning that, like, amazing then, that you will just come out of my demise, just come out of my demise, and you will conquer Baytul Muqaddas. Conquering Baytul Muqaddas means you will break the entire Roman Empire. Forget them running away in this battle, you will break the empire. Thumma. ثم فتح بيت المقدس. مقدس, مقدس could be read anyway. So it occurred in about the 16th year of the Hijri. Umar radiallahu anhu went, and what a conquering it was. There was hardly any fighting. The doors were just opened. ثم. This is how the thing changes. This narration was to show that whenever you are on a high, don't ever think things are going to be going well forever. You will have to see difficulty also. Your good days must prepare your mind that I'm enjoying the favors of Allah, but I must also be ready for an exam on the other side. In a school normally, in a madrasa, if the exams are all easy, the child is warned that don't take advantage of your teacher's good nature, that stop studying because one paper is going to come that's going to knock you off your feet. And if you fail in an exam, then you don't sit back and say, what happened now? Why he gave such a hard paper? And the law is that start again, because he also will get soft after a while. And the papers will start getting easier. There will be ease, there will be difficulty. There will be ease, there will be difficulty. ثُمَّ فَتْحُ بَيْتِ الْمَقْدِسِ. And then just when now Baytul Muqaddas is yours, what the world waited forever and ever, what a fatah. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ثُمَّ Mutan. This word mutan is like what we will call like a plague. Then there will be that plague, waba. يَأْخُذُ فِيكُمْ كَقُعَاسِ الْغَنَمِ, which will grab in you. Like how qu'as was a certain sickness which would spread amongst the animals. This plague will grab in you like how that sickness spreads amongst the sheep. The Arabs knew it, they were all shepherds. They understood when qu'as comes, the sickness of the sheep and the goats, then they would just see them all becoming weak and just dying off. So there will be a waba, a plague. In the Arab lands, there was hardly a plague. But now the Arabs had gone into the lands of the Romans. This plague had started about 140, 120 years before the Muslims saw it. It started in Constantinople. They call it the plague of, most likely the plague of Justinian. So Justinian must have been one of their leaders, Roman leaders. It was his era when the plague started in Constantinople for about, maybe about 4 years it lasted. Whatever it was. And then this plague continued for about 300 years. It remained in the world. They said it was the worst plague that Europe had ever seen. They will get one later on, which was called Black Death. They regard this as the worst. This was like an offshoot of that. So it was about 120 years after the plague started in the Roman lands. And it was moving, it would move around because whenever their ships would come, it would come with its rats. And the rats would have the flea and it was being spread with this flea. So when the Muslims entered into the lands of Al-Aqsa, Baytul Maqdis, this was the Roman lands. So it was going to be the first time that the plague was going to hit amongst the Muslims. أَوَّلُ غَبَاءٍ ظَهَرَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ First time they were going to see something else. And normally that first time that you see, that's when you get gripped with the most fear. Amwas is a few, it's very close to Baytul Maqdis, Amwas. And that's where they found the first, the beginning of this plague. And then it would spread in the entire Sham. When we say Sham, I don't know what you will think about, but Sham is not small. And it spread right till the tops of Sham. An entire Sham was going to be gripped with this plague. So that was about 2 years after Baytul Maqdis was conquered. It was known as the plague of Amwas because it started in Amwas. Umar radiallahu anhu was coming towards the lands of Sham, most likely to meet with his governors, and the news of this plague reached him. Umar radiallahu anhu thought about going towards it. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu then narrated to him that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he himself said that if you ever hear, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ بِهَذَا الْوَبَىٰ If you ever hear regarding a plague, then فَلَا تَدْخُلُوا or do not فَلَا تَقْدِمُوا عَلَيْهِ Then do not ever go towards that place. Do not enter into that place. And if the thing ever happens, وَأَنْتُمْ فِيهِ And you are in the place, فَلَا تَخْرُجُوا فِرَارًا مِّنْهُ Then don't run away from it. If you need to go out for some other reason, you can go out, but don't ever run. And other incidents happened where Mashara took place. Umar radiallahu anhu's own inclination was towards this, not to go in. In the ending, finally, the decision was made for them to turn back and to go towards Medina Munawwara. Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu was in the lands of Sham. He was the Amir, he was like the main in charge. Umar radiallahu anhu wrote a letter to him saying that I got work for you. Because the narration had said you cannot leave it, firar, running away from it. But if you got some work, then you can easily go. Otherwise, the next time when COVID spreads and the student is sitting in his town and we say madrasa is starting next week, he'll say, can't come. So if you got some work, you can go as long as they allow you to come. But you don't run away from it. Firar, there's no running away. And we explained previously, ulama gave a lot of reasons. One reason is, if everyone has to run, who's going to look after the sick people then? And the second thing, if everyone runs out, then you're saying the plague mustn't spread, but you yourself spread it then. If there is something called contagiousness. So whatever it was, it just kept, be balanced. Those that are not inside, don't go in. Those that are inside, don't go running out. But you need a lot of sabr during this time. Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu, he understood what Umar radiallahu anhu wanted. So he said, I'm not going to come. And Umar radiallahu anhu started crying. Everything was inspiration. He knew that I will never see my friend again. He even said, if I had to make a khalif after me, I will make Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu. In Hayatul Sahaba, you will do that when it spread the plague, then how it hit the families. His own son passed away. Then he passed away. house after house after house. When Mu'adh bin Jabal, he also passed away. But first he made the janazah of Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu. When making the janazah, he said, I will speak about this leader, but I will not exaggerate at all. He said, I will speak about him. He said, you people will never find a leader like this after. One reason was this, that how can I leave? He said, I will only leave when my people are safe. He passed away. He said, this plague hit in such a manner, it was only 2 years after Baitul Maqdis conquest. So battles beyond this year were still taking place. And as this plague spread, as it continued spreading, it says the Muslims, they would make sure they would bury their deceased. The Muslims would make sure. But as for the Christians, it says in the battles that occurred, they would just leave those bodies also. Because when that plague came, it never gave them chance also. Like, battle had just finished and the plague was coming into this area, coming into that area. Some of them have written that there were so many bodies of the Christians that were not buried still. They just left them. No one to bury those bodies. So the plague lasted in the main area of the Muslims. It lasted for only about 2 months. Or 1 month perhaps. 1 or 2 months. But then the after effects must have lasted, that it's going here, going there. But for that 1 month, it was how we saw like 1 year in this COVID where everything is going wild. Then historians have given numbers, we'll never know the exact. Some have said in a period of 3 days, but it seems that numbers were a little exaggerated. So whatever it was, between 25 to 70,000 Muslims passed away. So when you say between 25 to 70,000, that between is a very big thing. But historians, whenever they counted, who was going to count? Like, how are you going to count? So when our COVID doctors give their counting also, they do the same thing. They just say between 0 and 2 million. Around here, everyone will die. That's how they count. They don't know, I mean, what numbers they gave at the beginning. Now the numbers, and they still say so many, so much. The beginning they said, we'll all be dead by this year. Now they're saying that, no, 10%, like 5%, 4%. So the numbers, but whether you say between 25,000 to 70,000, for that 1 month, it was called Qiyamah. That's why when Umar radiallahu anhu got the news that things are settling down, first thing he did, he made a trip back to the lands of Sham, which gave a message to the ulama and the scholars, and they did it. When people had difficulty during this COVID, so as soon as things settled, you would see mashayikh and ulama immediately going back into the towns. The reason is, the people of ilm don't give himmat, who's going to give himmat? Don't give himmat, who's going to give? When the looting took place, there's a town that we visited now. So they were hit quite badly in the Natal area, quite badly. And normally you think, like, when someone goes through difficulty, it's very hard to go and talk to those people. Like, you don't want to go. Like, similarly, when someone passes away, you don't know what to say. Remember one person, he had a car accident. So an alim phoned him. The alim said that, I don't know what to say. Later on when he met me, he said that sentence of his was the tasalli I was looking for. Just for him to say, I don't know what to say. They get so happy with just a call, a visit. So the people of this town I went to now, they said when that thing happened, one group of ulama came there. And one alim in that group, he gave a bayan. He says he won't understand how much of himmat he gave us on that day. He said we were all like down and dead. Some of us never even want to go for the bayan. He said another alim came, another alim after that. And like normally you have your time, you know. So as you went a little bit over, like his bayan was going longer. So he said, hey, make me maaf for taking your time. So one person in the crowd said, Molsab, take all the time you want. We got nothing to do. Meaning our business is gone. Like, he said, take all the time. He said, the way that uncle said it, this alim started laughing also. They were so down. But the first jamaat that went, that alim who spoke, first sentence he said is, he said, I haven't come to give, make dua for you people. He said, me and my friends came to take your duas. He says, because you are the people who Allah is right by at the moment, not us. said when he said that, some people were like looking up. Like, said that one sentence still after 3 months or 4 months is playing in our mind. He said, we have come to take your du'as. So Umar radiallahu anhu made his trip immediately when the thing was clear. He said in that trip, few things he had to do. One is he had to distribute the inheritance. He said because the Muslim leaders were confused. So many had died that to work out now where must the inheritance go was a major problem. Normally you'll say he's inheriting, but he also passed away and he passed away. The money has to go there, then it has to go there. One of the main things they did after this Amwas Fitna was the distribution of the inheritance. Where must it go? But they write there that the people of the lands, just on the coming of Umar radiallahu an, it's like they lost all that gham of this. Just because he came. From there you learn the coming of the mashayikh. Even if they don't give a bayan, if they just go and they make salam to the people when they see calamity, just that salam itself. One of the houses I visited now, they said at that time, one family who was very, very badly knocked. So they got the news some mashayikh are coming. Now when mashayikh come, normally mashayikh come with barakah. And you have to also have barakah to feed mashayikh. Because they come with the jamaat also. And mashayikh don't eat a lot, but people normally feel shy to give mashayikh like nothing. So the man went to his family and he said, so and so great alim is coming, you must prepare something. And the wife said, there's nothing but. I think the little chicken we have, that's number one, not going to help them at all. So the person said, doesn't matter, for the next few months we'll just eat vegetables. Just take out, you have to give them chicken. So normally we'll always give, but at a time when you got knocked, there's no food. So the family made that thing. And the next day someone phoned and he said, I'm sending meat for you. So the amount of meat he sent was about 10,000 rands worth of meat. Next day. So the barakah of the akabir. They get so happy just to see an alim coming. Even no bayan. Just. So Umar radiallahu anhu made his suffer and he gave a usul to the world, the people of ilm. When people are suffering, immediately go inside. You're coming with them, we'll just give them the salim. So that was that. Mutan ya'khudhu fikum ka ku'asil ghanam. How it will grab you. And then everyone is down and they think it will never end now. This plague is never going to come to an end. Businesses have collapsed. But like how I went to this town now, this is only about 3 months after the looting. Just 3 months after. And I entered the town and I saw life is like normal again. Normal. The looters and the looted. Both of them are moving side by side. Like the looters and the looted. So I went to one shop, I saw there, I said they all started, mashallah. I saw the burn shop, I saw the new shop. I even said to them that when Baytul Maqdis was destroyed, a Nabi walked past. And he said, how will Allah ever give life back to this land? So Almighty Allah said, die. Like, and in 100 years time, he was told, stand. And the whole land was back again. I said, here you all never needed to die also. In 3 months, everything is standing. I said, even the looters must be surprised. So one person said, these looters, rubbishes. Some of them actually come in my shop and they stole the one shoe. Because, you know, normally you have that one on that. Now they come in and they say, boss, like, you got a match for this one. He said, they come with that thing. You're not shy, like, they've got the one, sitting on the one, 3 months, now they're waiting, shop will come up. It was in that shop we took it. Maybe he knows where the contact is. Where's number two of this one? The matching pair. But life carries on. This narration showed same thing. After the plague, which knocked everyone, the entire Sham. And Sham was where everyone went to. The main went to Sham. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu's brother, Fadl bin Abbas, most likely he also radiallahu anhu passed away in this Ta'un Amwas. Between 25,000 to 70,000. And thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثُمَّ إِسْتِفَادَةُ الْمَالِ. And then wealth will flow amongst you after that. Look at the east and west, heavens and earth. You're right in the bottom and then you back to the top again. ثُمَّ إِسْتِفَادَةُ الْمَالِ.
then so much of wealth will come. حتى يعطى الرجل مئة دينار فيظل ساقطا. So much of wealth will flow that if a man is called and someone has to give him 100 dinars, only one dinar, you'll grab it and you'll smile and you'll say, thank you, thank you, thank you. So much of wealth. If a man had to be called and given 100 dinars, فَيَظَلُّ سَاخِطًا, he will still be upset. That's so little you gave me. إِسْتِفَادَةُ mal. Those that have written shurra explain that it happened already in the time of Usman radiallahu anh. Meaning from Umar radiallahu anh, now, after the plague ended, and then futuhat continued, Islamic victory is continuing. And by the time of Usman radiallahu anh, especially that first 7 years of his khilafat, where Islam was just moving everywhere, so much of wealth was coming that everyone who was yesterday a shepherd was today playing with billions. Numbers that you can't count. They were just saying, I'll take that plot. I'll take that plot. How much is this one? Okay, I'll take three of it. For them, numbers was like nothing now. Huge amounts of money. Istifadatul mal. Complete opposite. Whenever you go through night, you must remember this narration. Or you must remember, وَالْضُحَى وَالْلَيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. This world is made up of opposites. The demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought everyone down. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stood and said, if anyone worshipped Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ مَاتْ وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتْ. Whoever worshipped Allah, then let him know Allah is forever living. Whoever worshipped his shop, when the shop comes down, he goes down. Whoever worships Allah, even if the shop comes down, his nazar is on Allah. He remains standing to be an Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. To be an Abu Bakr. May Allah tabarak ta'ala make us all. You have to be the Abu Bakr, you have to be the Umar. The people of ilm, the shan that Allah has given them is when everyone is in depression, they are the ones who stand up to lift the people from depression. And the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stood up. When the ta'un of Amwa spread, Umar radiallahu anhu stood up. The mashayikh in every era, the job is to introduce people to wadduha wal-layli idha saja. It should not happen the opposite. That the alim himself is the one who goes into depression. The alim goes into depression, then who will make the world smile? If the family of the alim, they become sick. If death has to come into their houses, they have to, at the janazah of their own children, show such a shan to the people that gives himmat and courage to everyone else. And alhamdulillah, we have found mashayikh in our country, they did that. In the one town we visited, they said when the looting was taking place, one senior alim, he pulled out his gun, which he never shot for 20 years perhaps. Or which he never carried for 20 years. But he pulled it out. Then he couldn't find any car going. So I don't know whether it was a bicycle or a motorbike. But a senior alim, he told him, put me on that thing. It took me. Then he came into the place where the looting is taking place. But now one person, what is one person going to do? Are you going to run in and what are you going to do? So finally, moving this shop and that shop, he went and he sat in front of one shop. And he opened his Quran and he started reading. While the looting is taking place, they saw him there sitting there reading Quran. Sitting there reading Quran. Another alim, his shop, entire shop he lost. That Jummah he gave a bayan. He gave the bayan Jummah time. In the bayan he showed his courage. A lot of people were affected. When the people of ilm are the ones who stand up and speak, it has an effect which is very far. We'll stop the narration on this one. We'll take this ibrat that the world will see many exams. And after every exam, we'll see a unique revolution after that. It goes from the bottom right to the top. And then from the top again, it has to come down. Then again, it goes up. Whenever we're on top, let pride not ever grip anyone. Ghurur. And be prepared that we'll enjoy the days of goodness, but you must be ready to now start declining. And when the decline hits and there's a major fall, then the people of ilm are those who will start showing the people, look towards the skies. The revolution is coming very soon. Himmat must be given, courage must be given. One individual lost his entire business one time because of a fire. He was also in a depression. Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahimullah, one sentence pulled him out of his depression. He phoned him on the phone. He said, that Allah who gave the first time will give the second time also. That Allah who gave the first time will give the second time. He said, I saw it. Now in this last week where I went to the town, we saw it. We met people who were down, down, down. And now they're up, up, up again. How fast, one person said, how much of business he got in this last 2 months. How much of business? It is just like flying. How much of business? That Allah who gives will continue giving. But the people of ilm, they are the first ones to learn this message. In our Islam, there is no place for depression. And there is no place for pride. When you are high, your nazar must be on wal-layli idha saja. Night also comes. And when darkness comes, difficulty comes, your nazar, your eye must be on wal-duha. By the qasam of day when everything is so bright. Between these two, day and night, ma wadda'aka rabbuk wa ma qala. Your Allah has not left you. Your Allah is not angry with you. Walal akhiratu khayrun laka min al-ula. But the year after is better for you than this world. So instead of getting tested in the year after, which no one will manage, Almighty Allah said, let me give the test in this world. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And a time will come where Allah will give you so much that Allah says that I guarantee you will be happy. فَتَرْضَى. Allah tabarak ta'ala make us all from the people of himmat, courage. Allah tabarak ta'ala make us the people of courage and make us those that give courage to everyone else. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ.